Have you ever wanted to know how is that done on board, or who's really behind the various initiatives that take place within the bars and restaurants at sea? Or how do trends in hospitality really impact the F&B experiences that are fantastic and that guests enjoy while cruising? Then Eat Drink Cruise is your podcast. Sustainability, unique and distinct experiences, reshaping beverage consumption, culinary innovation, supply and demand in today's commercial world, and the people that make all of this happen is actually what our Eat Drink Cruise podcast aims to cover. In 2024, the outlook for cruising expects to see over 35 million guests on board, which is a 12% increase year on year, according to Cruise Lines International Association. And so this podcast really becomes a sneak peek behind the scenes of a dynamic industry, whether you're a cruise expat or a successful supplier or newcomer supplier or just an F&B fanatic. Bite-sized conversations are what this podcast are all about. My name is Ken Taylor, and welcome to the show. We have a great lineup of different players throughout the business, including operators and consultants and influencers. It's a holistic perspective on the status of cruise F&B today. Welcome to Eat, Drink, Cruise. My name is Ken Taylor. I was going to present this little information. I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't highlight the focus of our program, which is really, I think, an exploration of the cruise industry as it relates to food and beverage and really cool people. I mean, that's really the focus of this podcast. Eat, Drink, Cruise will be something you can tune into from time to time. We hope to have some really, really great people along the way, but I really can't say it any other way. A lot of great people are making an impact on this industry. The cruise segment is exploding. The cruise lines and the product is exploding, and there's just some really amazing people behind that, most interestingly within the food and beverage area. So I'm super excited about bringing this show to light and bringing some really cool people. But speaking of food and beverage and F&B at sea, there is a show that is going into its second annual conference presentation, and that is on April 10th and 11th. It's called F&B at Sea. And if you didn't attend last year, I highly recommend this conference program. It is, again, April 10th and 11th in Miami. It's presented by Sea Trade, and it is all about food and beverage. So we are super excited. If any indication of last year's success will be what we expect to see this year, then I'm even more excited, because it was a huge success last year. It was our first annual show last year in Fort Lauderdale, this year in Miami Beach. Everyone gathering in the industry that's contributed, whether it be a supplier or a operator, an innovator, a contributor to F&B in the cruise industry, you know, really should be the show. And we're really excited. And that show is April 10th through 11th. So really excited about that. But speaking of really cool people, this first podcast brings to you Cornelius Gallagher, who's our very first guest. Our very first guest of the show. He is vice president of hotel for Celebrity Cruises. Welcome, Neil Gallagher.
Thanks so much, Ken. Great to be with you. Thanks for the invitation.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of people know Neil. I just said a moment ago, vice president of hotel. I think a lot of people that know you are like, well, wait a second. I thought he was head of food and beverage. You're kind of doing both at the moment, right?
Yeah, I just transitioned. I've been leading food and beverage for Celebrity for about 9 years or so. And I was just moved into a different position, given a different opportunity, which I'm really excited about. So currently, I oversee working with Keith Lane, oversee hotel operations, also the newly formed hospitality team for the brand. So that's a new add to that scope. And then I'm also overseeing food and beverage in the interim, like kind of backfill. So it's 24/7. I think I went to bed at 1:30 last night and woke up at 5. So hopefully that doesn't persist, but it's not boring. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I've known you now for at least 9 or 10 years. I don't know anyone who could probably handle the speed better than you. That's what you do, right? That's, you know, comes from the F&B industry that you grew up in. And so now you've just got a few other responsibilities. Now, where are you right now?
I'm in my daughter's room. My daughter left for UF recently, so she's at school there now.
You're in Florida. So what's your next trip? I mean, this is, you've got ships coming out. You've just launched. What's going on?
Yeah, we just launched Ascent. which is the fourth ship in the Edge class for Celebrity. Wildly successful, very exciting stuff. So we just left that ship and we're sort of mapping out what my travel looks like. It's going to be quite exciting. Mm-hmm. Part of the new scope and the new oversight is we're launching something called the Celebrity Way. It's a new way to look at culture and look at hospitality overall. It's how the Shoreside team members treat each other. It's how the Shoreside leaders treat the team members on board. And it's how the team members on board treat each other. And eventually, and most importantly, it's about how the teams treat the guest. So we're launching this new shift in culture and hospitality with a focus on elevated hospitality in every guest touch point. So we're creating this new program and we're going to be rolling it out to the fleet. So there's that. And I'm going to be traveling with the hospitality team to really underscore and create this whole program and get the word out. In addition to that, I'll also be hitting every ship to connect with all of the new hotel directors, the executive committees on board, to just talk about overall hotel operations, see how my team and I can help support and guide the teams on board, and to instill this new Celebrity Way brand culture paradigm shift. Very exciting.
Very cool. Yeah, that's something you and I talked a little bit about. I'm excited to kind of see how that evolves. What a great time to launch, you know, kind of a new set of thinking. You know, leadership has changed a bit with the brand. And I know Laura Hodges probably has some really cool stuff that she's doing. And this is probably part of that, which is awesome. Now, you know, you don't like to talk about yourself very much, Neil. We're going to have to talk about you a little bit, just real quick. And the one question that I'm asking everyone on this show that, you know, it'll be fun to kind of hear the responses. I think for those who know, you probably could answer, but I'm going to let you, this is a technical question. Okay. I'm going to let you answer this. What's your favorite cocktail?
I'm pretty simple. I would say a Grey Goose martini with dry vermouth, straight up.
Nice.
Lemon twist.
Very classic. Very classic.
Nice. Very classic, very simple. You know, my background as a chef and having worked in, you know, restaurants and hotels for pretty much 35 years, they say, if you were to have one last meal on earth, what would it be? I'm a simple guy. I find that the older I get, the more simple my tastes become. I'm a you know, a glass of great red wine and a delicious steak, a delicious aged steak. So I love simple, classic things.
What do you like to cook? Like, let's say you are you're entertaining an amazing travel partner and you've been asked, let's just say Laura asks you, you know, Neil, I need you to cook. Actually, they're coming to your house. What do you like to make? Put it that way.
I think I would cook the same for pretty much any guest that comes to my house. And you'd mentioned Laura, who's outstanding. I'm excited to be on her team and excited to embrace the new philosophy, the elevated hospitality way of thought. She's an outstanding leader. If I were to say, I would go to the market and find what's the freshest, most in-season food. I would not sit there and plan a menu and purchase around that. I would go to the market. I would go to the pier, see whatever fish has just come out of the ocean off the boats. If I was cooking seafood, I would try to find fish that was as close to rigor mortis as possible, super fresh. Any vegetables that are locally sourced, organic, pesticide-free. And I would basically use my experience just to decide what I was going to buy and what flavors would go together. The key for me would be keeping it simple. As I mentioned, as I get older, my, you know, way of eating becomes more simple, but also my way of cooking. And I think that as a young chef, chefs will often start with simplicity because they don't know really how to approach each ingredient. Then as they become a little bit more adept in how to handle ingredients, they tend to put too much on the plate just to kind of show what they can do. And then there's this tipping point when you start to really become an expert and you understand that with food, less is more. And it's really all about freshness of ingredients and simplicity. And simplicity is not simple. If you try to draw a perfect circle freehand, you'll see that. So really it becomes understanding the ingredients, understanding the seasons, which ingredients blend well together, and keeping it truly simple. The best chefs are able to, you know, find great ingredients and apply light touches. You want to really not get in the way between those great ingredients and the guest and whoever is consuming that product. It's light touches, knowing what flavors go well together and keeping it fresh at the end of the day.
Well, obviously from a chef's standpoint, that's your gig and it comes from an amazing background. And I always find it really interesting because everybody has their own unique experiences, which is awesome. That's what makes the industry amazing. Yours is quite unique. It's a little bit of a rags to riches story. And we'll talk about how it's kind of evolved into your new role. But let's go back for a moment. Top of your class, CIA, when you graduated, you went into the New York scene. I even think you spent some time in France learning classic cuisine and all that that requires. And then I think you were on the cover of Food & Wine Best New Chef. What was that, 2003?
Yeah, so I got into this industry, meaning the hospitality industry, way back. And it was really before the advent of the Food Network, social media, you know, celebrity chefs. I didn't get into it for that reason. I got into it because I really do, at my core, love to make people happy. And I fell in love with cooking when I was 12 years old, cooking at home for my family. Started off melting, I remember, the milk chocolate Easter bunny in a Teflon frying pan on an electric range, trying to make peanut butter cups at home. And I learned pretty quickly that you can't melt chocolate in a frying pan or else it burns. So that was the beginning. And I fell in love with cooking. I had this book called The Joy of Cooking by Irma Rombauer. And I still have my original copy from when I was 11 or 12 years old, and realized that there's part of me that is creative and I loved working with my hands. And, you know, my journey sort of began there in the kitchen at 11 or 12 years old. And then while I was in high school, I went to vocational school focused on culinary arts. I graduated and went to a place called CIA, Culinary Institute of America, which is still the world's premier culinary school, which I'm excited about. I did not graduate top of my class, but I was group leader. And so graduated from CIA in the early 90s, got a chance to work at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. I worked at Waldorf while I was at CIA. And then when I graduated, I wanted to go and work at the best restaurants that I could. So I went to a place called Boulay, which at that point was the number one restaurant in the United States. And I got the job by going to the back door and waiting there in my chef whites with my knives and said, I want a job here. And the chef saw me, brought me in. He said, we'll try you out tomorrow. And he brought me in and I'm super nervous. This is before the French Laundry. I'm in the best restaurant in the United States, and got hired and then spent time there. And then was approached by a friend of mine who was opening a restaurant called Flippers. It was a tiny seafood shack on the North Shore of Long Island, and said, we're looking for an executive chef. And in my young, immature head, I said, well, sure, I'm ready to be a chef. So I went there, 40 seats, $100,000 to start the restaurant. And we opened it up and we called it La Plage, which means the beach in French, because it was on the beach. Mm-hmm. Spent a year there and realized, hey, I want to be a bigger fish in a bigger pond. I want to be a big fish in a big pond versus a big fish in a small pond, which was Long Island. So I said, what I need to do to become a great chef is to really step back from the executive chef role. I need to start again as a cook and rebuild myself up working for the world's best chefs. So I did that. I left La Plage and I went on a journey working for the world's best chefs, a total of, I think, roughly 5 or 6 3-star Michelin chefs. As you mentioned, I went to France. I worked briefly in Spain at a restaurant called El Bulli, which was the number one restaurant in the world. Spent time at L'Espérance in Saint-Père-sous-Vézelay in France. Did a stage there. Worked for Laurent Gras, Peacock Alley, Grey Coons at L'Espinasse. I was sous chef at Daniel for Chef Daniel Boulud, who we now have a partnership with. And ended up my first executive chef position in Manhattan at a restaurant called Oceana, where I got all these crazy accolades and was on TV a whole bunch of times, was on a cover of a bunch of different magazines, which is great, but that's not really the reason I do any of this. And got to learn a lot, got to work with amazing people. And then, you know, through a series of events, ended up being interviewed by and ended up working for the company I'm with now. I spent 2 years as director of culinary at Royal Caribbean International. And then post that, was asked to lead Food & Beverage for Celebrity. So sorry about the long-winded response, but wanted to give you the whole story.
No, it's great. It's awesome. I mean, from Oceana to Celebrity Cruises, basically, over the last 9-10 years, you've been with the brand, or with Royal Caribbean Group, starting out with Royal. You and I actually went on board a Solstice class ship, I think, back in your interview. And you walked around this ship, and I remember just watching you look at this massive operation on board. And I think you were looking at the galley. I don't know that you had questions. You had questions, but you were on the phone already working on something. It just seems like went right to it, trying to figure out exactly. And I think if you look at those last years, these last 9 years since that day, what would you tell your young self who just walked on a celebrity cruise ship looking for the first time? Because you never really cruise. You weren't a cruiser. You were a New York chef. What would you tell yourself?
So that's a good question. And I remember that cruise. And I had, I think, a total of about 12 interviews. The interviews were clustered together. And you were one of my first interviews and then one of my last. And we spent a few days on reflection, part of the solstice class.
Reflection, right.
Yeah. And I remember us chatting and getting to know each other, both on a professional and personal level. And I remember going back to my room and really, at that point, I was on, I think, my 12th interview before the last. And I put together a plan of action. I don't know if you remember this. I wrote down on the
piece,
this would be how I approach the first 90 days. And I kind of always work like that in restaurants and hotels, where I was trying to think of the future, being strategic, but also being action oriented. And how can I get things done the most efficient, quick way possible? So, yeah, so it was great to connect there and get to learn more about the cruise industry. It was really a transition for me. It was a transition from New York to Miami. So I'm a lifelong New Yorker, born in the Bronx and worked in Manhattan for over 20 years or so. So moving down from New York to Miami, moving into the cruise industry, which I'd never done before, and then moving into a true global corporate environment. I'd worked corporate before, but at a much smaller scale. So the transition was a lot for myself and my family, but we felt like it was the right thing. And there was just massive opportunity to help shape guests' perception of how they view the food and beverage space within the cruise industry. To answer your question, what would I say to myself? I guess I would say things take time. Don't rush things. The cruise industry, often it is somewhat slow moving. I came down and I remember thinking, I'm a New Yorker. I'm moving way too quick here. And then after a while, I said, you know what? I said, I don't think I'm moving that quick. I need to be the person in the background that drives. So the advice to myself would be, first, think strategically. Utilize the ships to pilot things before you roll them out fleet-wide. And focus on people. I think any great leader, and I'm not saying that I am, but I think, you know, I read a lot of books, leadership books, and study people. And the hardest thing to do is to find top quality talent in any large organization. So really invest that time and make emotional deposits with your team, and they'll pay dividends to you in the future if you focus on people first. I would say that would be the advice I'd give myself.
Awesome. And then you were able to take the mentoring that you've received. One of your great mentors is Danielle, right? Balut, who obviously was important enough for you to bring aboard Celebrity as a partner. I've experienced and continue to enjoy experiencing when I'm on board in a suite class accommodation on a Celebrity, the concept Lumine. But tell me about the partnership, first with your mentoring relationship, and then how that evolved.
Sure, that's a great question. So the partnership with Danielle is something that I'm extremely happy about and honored by, because Danielle's been approached by pretty much everybody in the cruise industry over the course of the last 30 years to partner with him. Danielle's been at the top of his game since he was the chef at Le Cirque in the mid-80s in New York. He's the longest running four-star chef, meaning New York Times four-star, which is the equivalent of 3 Michelin stars in New York. I think he had the longest run at that level than any other chef. He's the most awarded chef in the world. That's a big statement. And so the question is, how did this partnership come to be? Well, first, I worked with Danielle for about a year and a half in New York at his flagship restaurant, Danielle, on 65th and Park Avenue, and got to work with him in that capacity. And we always kept in touch throughout the years. Not only was he a mentor of mine, he's an amazing human being, and we always kept touch on the side. And so one day he had sent me a text and said, hey, Neil, I'm celebrating the 5th anniversary of my restaurant in Miami. Would you like to come? So I said, sure. So I brought one of my team members. We went there and sat with Danielle and just, you know, reminisced about old times. And at the end of the night, we sat at the bar and had a few glasses of wine. And, you know, we discussed the idea of working together. And then he said, no, I think that would be great. And I said, yeah, sure. You say that to everybody. You know, I think you're kind of, you know, maybe pulling the wool over my eyes. But he was really interested. And I'd asked him, I said, what's different about us versus other companies that have approached you? And he said, the trust that he and I have, the fact that we've worked together. And there's a book called The Speed of Trust that outlines how partnerships can sometimes come together when both parties really trust each other and how things can be expedited through that trust. So long story short, it took about 30 days or so for us to hammer out the contract. And we brought Danielle on board first as a global brand ambassador for the culinary brand. And then the second piece was the restaurant partnership agreement. We launched Le Voyage on board Beyond and on Ascent recently. And that's Danielle's interpretation of his French approach to technique and culinary sensibilities through the filter of his travels around the world, utilizing ingredients from different parts of the world that we visit, that he visits, and really interpreting those dishes for our guests on board. The partnership has been wildly successful. And what people don't know is not only is Danielle a great, amazing chef and restaurateur and one of the most prolific out there in the world, not only is he the most awarded chef in the world, he's also an amazing human being. And there are things that he doesn't talk about. That's why we wanted to partner with him. And that's why we're so honored to be partnered with him now.
Obviously, Danielle, being helpful in what you're trying to accomplish, what you've been doing for the last 8 or 9 years running food and beverage and really elevating this experience. I look at celebrity cruises as an elevated experience. A lot of cruise lines are trying to elevate their experience. You know, usually starts with design and then it goes in sort of the concepts with F&B in particular. Lots of great new concepts at sea right now. But you have a perspective that you and the team have been working on. Tell me about what that means a little bit more.
Good question. That is what I referenced earlier was the celebrity way. And it's not only brand culture and how we treat each other, but it's really a focus on elevated hospitality. As I think we're not really in the cruise business, but we are in the hospitality business. And I don't think it's enough to just create this program, box it up shoreside in the corporate office and send it out to the fleet and say, create elevated hospitality through your lens. I think that's part of it. But I think part of it is really giving specific examples to the fleet in what we mean by elevated hospitality. I'll give you two quick examples. And we're going to be using these examples to kind of showcase to the fleet. And then we're going to let them take that and expand on that. The core of it is really going above and beyond, being in touch with the guest, understanding what they want at the end of the day, and stepping outside of your comfort zone and doing the extra work to create a moment that resonates with that guest. So one of the things is, for instance, we recently had a guest who had sailed on one of our ships, and it's a gentleman who laid his pants out for the night because he was going to one of the higher end dinners on board. And the butler noticed that his hem was ripped on his pants. So the butler, without being prompted, brought it down to the area on the ship where they fixed these sorts of things, had brought it back and laid it back out on the bed exactly in the same position without saying a word. And the guest came back and said, "Now that's intuitive. That's someone who's in touch. And I can't believe that they just took that upon themselves to do that." And then there was another butler on another ship where guest had mentioned to his wife in the stateroom while he was in there performing other duties, "I wish they had vitamin water here, a certain type of vitamin water. And they told me that they don't have it on board." So this butler went, and it was in Key West, and we saw him because we were off the ship and we saw him walking down Duval Street. It was really Keith who saw him, Keith Lane, my boss. And he went up to him and said, "Hey," his name was Bart, the butler, and said, "Bart, what are you doing? We see you walking down Duval Street in full butler uniform. You stand out like a sore thumb. What's going on here?" And he told him, "I thought it would, you know, the guest mentioned that they wanted this type of vitamin water. So I got off the ship and I'm sourcing it for them without them knowing about it." So at the core, it's really just about those types of things going above and beyond, creating moments, connecting with people, understanding what they want, stepping outside your comfort zone to create those moments that are going to create resonating, long-lasting experiences and memories for our guests.
That's great. That's really, really cool. I mean, obviously, it's going to take for the crew some great examples of what they already do, right, to kind of highlight. I think the crew member on board cruise ships are an incredibly resilient and they're authentic people. Actually, I use the word authentic. Webster's word of the year is authentic. I don't even know why, but that's seems like we've been using that word for a while. But no, it's that whole authentic thing that crew members are classically known for. And when it comes to training and development, which I think this initiative will probably have a lot to do with, as you bring new crew on and bring new ships on, it means more new crew, you know, kickstarting that hospitality and that sort of authenticity, you know, in, with the programs, it makes a lot of sense. You know, everybody's finding ways to weave in technology to support their initiatives. Will technology help you in any way with this?
You know, it's so funny. You said authentic is the word of the year. I thought it would be existential because that popped up and that's been all over.
Yeah. It's true.
So that's a good question. Technology is something that we want to leverage and we want to use in a smarter way to help us make decisions in a more efficient way and help us be smarter, but more of a pinpoint on, you know, how we set our targets, leveraging guest experiences from other ships so that when they sail on a different ship, we have the full background of those guests and we can customize the experience to them. There's an opportunity to leverage off-the-shelf solutions that will help us make better decisions. For instance, there's, and I'm not paid by Avero, but I've used Avero in the past. And what that is a piece of technology that consolidates item sales trend reports, revenue data, utilization for restaurants and bars, the weather. It presents that data in a user-friendly way quickly in real time that allows you to make decisions and on menu changes and par changes and so forth. So that's one piece of technology that we're looking into. I'm a big fan of using off-the-shelf solutions versus us trying to create everything internally. There's another thing that we're looking into is to leverage analytics on board our operations, predictive analytics. So for instance, right now in our Ocean View Cafe, which is the buffet, oftentimes the first touch point for any guest when they come on board, right now what the chefs do is they have a rough idea of the demographics blend that will be coming on board for the next cruise. A certain amount of guests from the US, UK, Argentina, and so forth. Now, to use that information, the previous information on those guests, the analytics from those guests, what they like to eat, what times they like to eat, the amount of kids that are coming aboard on the next cruise, where the ship is positioned in the world, what the weather is like, all of those things impact what we should serve in the buffet, you know, what the offering is, what times we open, and so forth. There's a lot because, for instance, we know that when it rains outside, we're going to have a lot more people inside coming to the buffet. The other venues that are open outside are not going to be as busy because it's raining. So we're looking into creating an internal algorithm that calculates all of this and will come out with a prediction of what we think the food order should be by day for that ship. That's obviously a massive undertaking, but that's an example of how we're looking to leverage technology to better our operations.
Awesome. So no AI cruise directors coming up in the,
not
in the future?
Really. It's a people business, right? I mean, we can to a certain extent to help us be better, but it's not about replacing employees. It's just about being more efficient on decision making.
One of the things that, and you and I talked briefly about this, F&B at Sea, this show that that we're excited about coming up, this next show in April, it's an awards show as well, and it's an awards program that aims to recognize the great and cool stuff that the food and beverage teams are doing throughout the industry. You guys get a lot of awards. Celebrity has been known to attract industry awards specific to your brand and experience, and they may look at other cruise lines. Oftentimes, the awards that Celebrity's getting might be something that could go to a hotel group or another hospitality group. But what we're doing at F&B at Sea with the awards program is really just the cruise industry. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think our program, quite proud of, and it's really the team who's done a lot of great work. For instance, Wine Spectator Award of Excellence for all of our ships fleet-wide. We're the only cruise brand in the industry that is lucky enough to have that designation. Last year, we were the first cruise brand to be Forbes star rated in the entire industry. And we're always trying to push the envelope. Speaking of Sea Trade and F&B at Sea specifically, I believe it or not, I'd never been to Sea Trade before. I went last year. I was asked to speak with some of the leaders of MSC, of Carnival, of NCL, and was, you know, happy to do that and got to connect with the other leaders, which was great. But F&B at Sea was really unique and different. And I thought it was fantastic because people, as they kind of get more educated about food in general, I think there's more of a focus and interest on that within the cruise space. I think the idea of adding an awards component to that is just even better. I was incredibly impressed by the layout and the setup by the team, how they brought the activations to life. And I hear this year it's going to be even bigger when it's launched in Miami. So I'm looking forward to going there and checking it out. And I think what you're doing with your team and the awards makes 100% sense. So I love it.
Awesome. Well, great stuff. Thank you so much, Neil. This has been a great conversation. We appreciate the opportunity.
Ken, thanks for the time, and thank you for the invitation.
You bet. Have a good one.